tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Woo! All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Is that the song that the show ended with?
That's not it, but I'm digging it.
It works. It's creepy.
It's like the typical like Joe Carroll song.
Yes, but they did play this actually in season one, I believe.
They did, yep.
Yes. Well, anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Another amazing AfterBuzz TV after show for your favorite show, The Following. And we're on season three, episode eight.
Yes.
This one's called Flesh and Blood. I am your host, Sean Overman.
Hi,
and
Sean.
Hey, guys. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Austin O. And I'm joined here by my awesome co-hosts.
Hi, everybody. Pega Rad here. You can follow me on Twitter at Pega Rad.
Hi. Sorry. I thought you had something else. Hi, I'm Michael Andrew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael _ Drew and Instagram, same thing. Michael EAL.
And be sure to follow us, if you're not already, at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter and Instagram. And also check us out on YouTube. We are streaming live to YouTube right now. AfterBuzz TV is our channel. And you can also check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes. Be sure to rate and comment us. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get into this show.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness. We are going to talk about quite a few things.
Oh,
crazy episode, guys. Overall, give me a one-sentence impression of this episode, Pega.
I love Joe Carroll.
Theo, and, extra creepy.
Oh, yes.
He got me. Like this episode, like when I left, I went on Twitter. I was like, man, this guy. Everything I said like two episodes ago, I was wrong.
Yeah, because you didn't really buy his whole like creepy character, but you're sold now.
I was wrong. It was crazy. Like, by the end of the episode, I'm just like, holy crap, this guy is.
I mean, he killed his wife and kids.
He killed his wife.
I mean, his wife.
Kids.
Sorry, not the kids.
Killed his wife. What an awful man.
Well, I mean,
if I was going to describe this episode in one sentence, I would say cold, calculating Theo.
Well done. Cold, calculating Theo. CCT?
CCT. CCT.
This was
hashtag CCT.
CCT. CCT. Yes.
The worst hashtag ever. No one's going to understand what the hell we're talking about.
I'm hashtagging it. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about Joe Escapes Nut.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was, oh my gosh.
That was so funny. We're going to be talking about Theo Hit at Home, Ryan's in the Doghouse, and Gina Quits the FBI.
Yeah.
I like how it runs up to the end. Gina Quits the FBI.
One of the most insignificant things
ever. I know, but I feel you, Gina.
It's her time to go.
Yeah, it is. It is. But hey, maybe she'll be there in the background. But let's go ahead and talk about Joe a little bit. So the episode almost starts off with this, right? And that was just amazing. And he sits down with this hot psychologist. She's supposed to be, what, preparing him for his execution?
Yeah, and she looked just like, I thought it was Courtney Cox at first.
That
would have
been a crazy cameo. Like, Courtney Cox!
I know, what a random little... But it was too easy. It made me go, no way, no way. And then I was just yelling at the TV, like, no, no way! Like, it was too clean for it to not be a dream, but it took me a while to really figure out what was happening. So it was cool. They really played around with us.
Yeah, but like you said, it was brutal. The way he was getting through those officers,
it
was brutal, man. I was like, that's why I kind of thought, I was like, wow, that's really a surprise. He's really going to break out at the beginning of the episode. Then when I saw Ryan, I was like, all right.
Yeah, what did he do with the first guy? He stabbed him with a pen in the neck.
And several times.
Several times. Then the other guy, he bashed his head so hard up against the glass that it just bled out onto the glass.
The splatter.
Yuck. Right? And I don't remember if I was screaming, it's a dream, this can't be real, or this can't be a dream, this is real. I don't remember which one, but I was so excited during the scene.
But it was so similar to what had happened season one, episode one, when he escaped, because he dressed like the officer.
Yes.
Just, it looked so familiar that I was like, they can't do this again, just like this. Like,
that was my thought process, too. I was like, come on. Yeah, like, he did this again, like, who is this guy?
Look at him. Seriously.
This prison is terrible.
He really would be like a comic book character. Yeah. If he was able to do this over and over again.
I'm just waiting for him to melt like the T-1000 from Terminator and just like slide through the bars.
That would have been epic.
Wouldn't it be cool?
That would make the T-1000 sexy if he had Joe Carroll's face and his accent.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yes.
That would be so cool.
Right, what are we talking about here?
Sorry.
We're digressing. But that's okay. So Joe, he doesn't escape, but we do get to see him also with he has a conversation with not the hot psychologist, but Dr. Sachs,
yeah.
Which is such a funny name, right? I'm thinking of he just looks like a pair of balls to me, yeah. Right?
I loved how the one thing you noticed when they came back from the dream, you're like, huh, he doesn't even have the sexy psychiatrist anymore.
No.
Like that's the worst. And he didn't break out, but and look at his psychiatrist or psychologist.
Yeah. Joe probably could have charmed the psychologist into whatever Pega gets every time. The way she feels when she sees Joe Carroll.
Do you feel like you're normal now? Okay, you're released.
Yes. Yeah, like, and then he knocks her out and puts her over his shoulder. Oh, I'm just taking this lady home with me. I hope you feel the mine. Yeah.
And what was the thing the male psychologist said? Are you ready to die?
That was awful.
Like the first thing, like, are you with me now? Okay, hey, are you ready, to,
ready
die?
To die?
Like, what the hell? Like, do you even say that?
What kind of a psychologist is this guy? So, but later on in the episode, fast forward, we do get to see Joe outside during his recreational time, which is him standing in a cell that's probably only 3 times bigger than his cell with some daylight.
And I guess he didn't care how he was going to go. He didn't want to choose.
What did he say? No spoilers?
Yeah.
He said no spoilers.
Like, I like surprises. Yeah.
No, I actually did write down what he said. He said something to the effect of, it was something like, oh, spoiler alert, Dr. Sachs.
Yes.
How dare you do such a thing?
So the guy like being surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, they chose lethal injection, and Ryan declined his invitation to come.
Ooh,
was he really expecting? Well, actually, you know what?
No, I kind of thought he would again, too.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to see Joe finally get what he deserves.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He was really disappointed. It was just like draping over his face.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, but Ryan promised he'd see me every day until my execution. He broke the rules. So he's dreaming about Ryan. Ryan's dreaming about him. They're meant for each other. These guys are kismet.
Seriously.
Right?
Jeez. Yeah.
They're in love.
They're in love. They have a bromance.
They do. It's like a frenemy bromance type thing going on.
Frenemy. They don't want to accept it.
That's right.
You know, he's like, Ryan's playing hard to get.
And even let's go ahead and jump to another scene where we have Ryan come home. And it's at the end of the dinner. He ends up throwing out the doctor, right? And he says, well, me and Joe almost got blown up today.
Yeah, he's seeing things. He's hearing things.
It's a big time Freudian slip right there.
Yeah, he's got Joe on the mind.
He's got Joe on the brain.
Yeah. And the doctor who he ended up kicking out was just talking. They were talking about Joe Carroll. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal, unlike Gwen. But I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Gwen handled it pretty calmly. Yeah. She didn't really get too mad at Ryan, which I was surprised. I mean, if Grant or whatever was falling on this dinner, it's the boss, and my guy, like, kicked out, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I thought she showed no empathy towards Ryan's situation. Like, you're having a guy over for dinner, and the guy's literally debating over Joe Carroll. That's not dinner talk. That's like religion. Like, why are you talking about that? It was so weird. Like, why are you bringing that up? And then Gwen's just like, oh, you kicked him out? Like, did you hear what he was saying?
Right, in his own house.
What do you want me to do?
See, but at the same time, that's probably the only thing that the doctor can think about to talk with Ryan regarding, because he knows that Ryan Hardy's in the news. He knows he's a famous FBI agent.
Yeah.
Joe Carroll's a famous serial killer who has written a book himself and had books written about him. That's like, you worked with Charles Manson? How can we not talk about Charles Manson?
What was the one thing he said? He said, so you're doing it for revenge. I'm like, what the hell? I got my chicken in front of me. Why are you telling me? Yeah. I don't want to talk about this.
Ryan had a bad day, a very stressful day at work. He doesn't drink anymore, right? I'm sure everybody there had wine in them before he arrived.
Oh, for sure.
Loose. I'm like, oh, hey, Joe, hey, Ryan.
Yeah, this is like the last thing he wants to hear when he gets home and wants to have some dinner.
Yeah, seriously. And I felt like, well, now that we're talking about the dinner, let's talk about the dinner some more. Yeah, when you walked in, when Ryan walked in, I felt like he wanted to press the panic button.
Yeah, he went for it.
Right? His finger was like right there, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll just do this damn dinner.
But do you think he remembered
dinner? I think he didn't know the dinner was there. And then when he heard them, he was like,
thank you for enlightening me.
I think it's just out of habit, but then maybe thought, okay, Gwen's home. Like, let me just try to not be as crazy, and then realizes there's a dinner there.
The thing I noticed was that what happened with Gwen, when he told Gwen that when he said the Freudian slip with Joe, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I got blown up today with Joe. And Gwen's just like, you said Joe. But she completely ignores the fact that he almost got blown up. And even the next day, she's like, she's still talking about the dinner. Like, she still hasn't brought up the fact that you almost got blown up.
Yeah.
Like, that's his girlfriend. I almost got blown up, baby. Like, I know, but listen, my boss is here. Can we not, you know, like, I almost died. I
swear, she gets, like, the worst girlfriend award ever.
Yeah. See, they could have talked about something else. They could have talked about his day, what he did during his day. Not that Joe Carroll, I put him away, I'm in love with Joe, whatever, okay? I have a dual relationship with Joe and Gwen.
Joe Carroll would have cared. He would have been empathetic.
But then again,
like, he almost got blown up.
He got shot and didn't tell her, so it's like,
he's keeping
I'm
a
alive,
lot. He's still keeping a lot from her.
Yeah.
It's awful. Whatever, anyway.
Follower. She's a follower.
She's a follower. Sorry. It's a love triangle. Joe influenced her, and he they're doing conjugal visits, and then he's saying, go ahead, go to my friend, go to Ryan Hardy, give him some of what you have, your juicy Gwen goodness.
That Carol impersonation, boy, it's jumping up. You're just like Theo's insane creepiness. Well, jumping up.
I'm sitting in the lead seat tonight, so I can do it all night long. Oh, I wanted to go back really quickly to Joe. I loved, because you guys mentioned that he didn't choose, but then the state chose for him his lethal injection, and he was like, ooh, something about the venom coursing through the veins.
Yeah.
It's almost got a Socratic feel about it, doesn't it? And that's so awesome, because he's referring to Socrates taking poison, and I forgot why. I think he opted for poison instead of admitting something, or like something like that, or maybe the state made him do it because he thought he was too Socrates thought he was too smart for Greece.
So kill him.
Give him poison.
It's just funny, like, he's even romanticizing his own death. Usually he does that with the people that he kills, but I was surprised that even with his own, he's seeing this like connection to Socrates.
Damn, he's
interesting.
Vain.
Yeah,
you like that,
so
huh?
I do.
You like that vainness?
Love it.
And he's still a writer to the end with his beautiful wording.
Still a terrible, terrible writer.
Yeah,
terrible.
An over dramatizing writer. Yeah,
seriously.
Like, I'm here and I'm outside and like, you're like, oh, the veins in my blood. Oh, I'm like, oh, come on, guy, just.
And the only thing that disappoints him is that Ryan Hardy cannot be there. Eek. Well, anyway, did we kill Joe to death in this conversation already?
Well, he'll come back later, right? No? Doesn't he come back later?
Does he?
Well, aside from him making that hallucination appearance with Ryan in the basement.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Ryan, watch out!
I'm liking these dreams and I'm liking these hallucinations because it's taking him outside of just the cell. I'm seeing more of Joe in, you know, kind of normal areas.
Yeah.
If Nando were here, he would call it a beautiful device.
Beautiful device.
Yes, it is a good device to get Joe out of the cell so we can see him in street clothing. Like, watch out!
Like pool, having a beer. Oh, yeah.
That's still my favorite scene so far. The at the bar?
Yeah.
Where they're playing pool?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I still got that playing through my mind.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let's talk about Theo.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
This was his episode. I said, like, episode, he killed this. I mean, not metaphorically, but he, like, killed this episode. He was on fire.
Yeah, Michael Ealy.
Yeah, he was on fire.
This was probably the most gruesome episode we've seen this season. Normally, they give us hints of crazy things happening, like people being put in boxes. We don't get to see them folded up. I think a guy folded into a box would have been better than seeing the stuff we saw tonight. Would have been safer.
You guys.
We saw a guy with his arms cut off. That one guy who was, he was framing, right,
from, yes,
at the end of last episode. Forgot his name. Was it Terry? Something like that.
A lawyer.
The head of Manatech.
Yeah.
Right? And we put it in the grinder. Oh, God. I could not.
We saw the brain of the guy in the basement, mm-hmm, and just chilling right there.
Yeah.
Just in his head. Just right there. Just brain.
Well, that wasn't... Yeah, we got to see that. That was awful.
The lawyer, right? The lawyer.
Yeah. That was... Was it the lawyer?
That was the lawyer's body and brain. That was his. That was his.
Oh, wait. His lawyer. He had a lawyer?
No, the lawyer that got Sam, that got
Dr. Theo Strauss. The
job. That got Theo the job.
Really?
That was that.
No, because the lawyer is Eldon.
Eldon Wick.
Yeah, Eldon Wick, and he was alive. That guy that they caught was Eldon. So he was a killer, too.
Yeah, that was his body. I mean, that's the body of his, of one of his...
One of his kills. Victims. Yeah, one of his kills. Victims. Okay, all right. Okay, that was his... Yeah, all right, I got you now. Yeah. I thought you were saying it was Eldon.
No.
Yes, okay. Good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah,
so we see all these ears everywhere in the basement when they go to that house, right?
Mm-hmm. What did you say, talismans?
They found the connection, yeah. I thought they were talismans again. And is that Theo's calling card, like those talismans? Did he do that with the dolls, too?
I think it's all the killer's things. I think they all have, after they kill, they all have a something that they keep.
Yeah.
What is Theo's? Does he have one?
I don't know.
I think it's just ego play for him.
I guess his MO is that he just blends in everywhere. He disappears.
Yeah.
He's a ghost.
I don't think he would have one because then it's too traceable to his killings. He's too
We might have found the weakness. I'll save it for later. But I think we might have found his calling card, but it's like metaphorically. But what his weakness is.
Mm.
I think.
Don't forget. Hold on to that.
Yeah, let me write that down because it just hit me now.
But
like
you know,
lightning.
This entire episode, we see Theo's wife. What's her name?
Cindy.
His wife is just, from the beginning, just kind of talking a little different, kind of suspicious, kind of, she hasn't been the same, like, just, oh my gosh, Theo, I love you. She was kind of on edge this episode, so I was kind of picking up on her having suspicions of him.
Doing what, though? Having an affair?
Yeah, see, they thought
maybe
it was an
affair. Maybe having an affair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's always the worst thing that us normal men get painted as, having an affair. Because we can't kill anybody.
I know, that's so crazy. It's like, I'm not having an affair. I'm just murdering people. It's like, oh, okay, well, hey, but you're not cheating on me.
Which is worse.
Like, okay. I know, like, you would have brought that up, but baby, all right, I'm murdering a few people, but...
A few hundred.
I still love you, girl.
I only got you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, well... he's a good man.
You're the only one I don't want to murder, baby.
I know. He didn't even... He gave her a painless...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He's a romantic.
With his family, I guess. But, yeah, anyway, so we do see that suspicion. Mm-hmm. Her friend Nancy comes into the picture, which is so funny because you do Better Call Saul.
Yes.
And that's... Her name is Nancy.
Nancy Kettleman from Better Call Saul.
Exactly. She's also Nancy Kettleman. So that's her name
funny.
There, too.
She plays that character of, like, the friend or, like, the real, like, quirky, like... I don't know what you would call that character, but she plays
the annoying friend.
The annoying friend or the annoying wife.
Intrusive.
Julia Ann Emery, that's her name. And she was also the best friend of Eva Mendes in Hitch.
Did she play the same sort of like annoying?
Well, not annoying, but like you know, her homegirl. Like she was, you know, was a real good friend. In this one, she was the nosy neighbor.
The nosy neighbor.
She was a little, like, I like her a lot. I like her as an actress. I think she's really cool.
Great actress.
But I felt guilty because I kind of wanted her. When she got shot, I wasn't feeling too guilty. Because she was, I was just like, when she was asking so many questions, I was like, stop asking questions. Stop it. Just enjoy.
Frame Theo in front of, like.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She was intrusive, and her husband was a total bonehead.
Total, like, dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I like him. It's cool.
Yeah, she was even like talking to him later on, saying, "So you didn't think that was weird that when I said you went to college and you did this, you did that?" And he was like, "Yeah, so what? Well, you didn't go to college, idiot."
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't paying attention at all.
Yeah.
And he definitely didn't pay attention when Theo came in and put the gun to his head.
And it was just like, "Hey, I need my shovel." That,
yes.
He was, you know, he's Michael Ealy was so good this episode. Like the when he did those lines of just talking under his breath, and everything was just so monotone. Like, hey, I need my shovel. It was just
like you're about to really, take this guy's life, and you want your shovel back.
Yeah.
Like
really,
that's where your brain goes.
That was his jab, his couple of final jabs at him, which was really cool. He's been wanting to say all this stuff the whole time.
When he said, "Cat got your tongue."
Yeah.
And then he shot her. He's like, ah, that felt good. I know you like that.
Yeah.
He said
yeah.
it to the husband. I know. I know you like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then he's like, no, not even little. Well, you're gonna like this less. Because I'm going to kill you next. Yeah. We'll put the gun in your mouth and blow your brains out.
I think, did they do the same thing where he framed him, he put the gun in his hand and probably held it to his face? And
he probably put the gun in his mouth, shot him first, and then probably put the gun in his hand, yeah, afterwards to make it look like
he did it. Put the prints on it, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know too much about that.
I don't know.
I don't know about you, Sean.
So Max comes through with a folder with Sam's identity, but not a photo.
It can't print out.
Oh my gosh.
Which was funny. So hilarious.
Is that a WTF FBI thing?
I guess so.
Yeah, WTF world. WTF internet.
Come on, guys.
Can't print out a photo.
Yeah, oh, from their own database, too. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Gee, you wouldn't think that this hacker guy that you've been trying to trace is, like, messing with you?
Yeah, and the reason why she even narrowed it down to Sam Lewis was because his record was too clean, right? Yeah. It was just, like, back and forth, like, home
he was
to
too
work.
Perfect.
It was too perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what that was reminiscent of to me was Gus Fring in Breaking Bad, where he just goes to home to work, to home to work over and over again. Like the GPS was too perfect.
Yeah, that's true. Good call on that.
Huh. Yeah. So anyway, too perfect. So they start to investigate him more. They try to find his ID. They do find something on
his
the database,
home.
But and they find his supposed home.
Yeah.
We got Division of Labor here. We got Mike and Ryan flying over there to go investigate the home. Cameras are everywhere, and immediately I'm thinking, dude, there's booby traps in there.
I can't
come
believe
on,
he didn't
guys.
See the camera as soon as he walked in. It took him a while.
And he just heard it like this is like you didn't hear it before.
Yeah.
They had to make it. They had to make it buzz like that. It probably the good ones these days, you know, they don't buzz like that. Come
on. Was he trying to get his attention?
Yeah.
He wanted Ryan to see the camera so that they can maybe go into another part of the room. I don't know.
Yeah. He thought he killed him, but he was saved by a bathtub.
Yes.
Because those bathtubs, as you said, are indestructible.
Indestructible bathtub.
When in
doubt, to the rescue.
Jump into a bathtub.
They're like tanks.
Yes,
these
exactly.
ceramic globes of ceramic fortress of solitudes here. They're like
they could survive a nuclear explosion.
It's crazy. Like the whole place explodes, fire everywhere. But in that bathtub, he only got a scratch on his forehead.
They did.
You know, I was like, yeah, all right, guys. Hey.
And what did Max say when he's like, "Don't worry, it's just a scratch"? She was
so
like,
"That hard head finally saved you, or something."
Yeah,
it's good for something.
I was like, "Oh."
They didn't even get their eyebrows singed off, Mike didn't even get his beard singed off. He always has that damn beard on.
Oh, thank God! I mean, what?
Oh, are you like cheating it? On Joe Carroll?
Just a little bit.
You got some rancid thoughts of just Mike.
I don't know. There's no time. There's no time in this episode.
Yes. Right. Maybe he's just sitting at home watching, like, the Max cam. Just sitting at home.
It's like, when's she going to come home?
Yeah.
I want her. I want to see her.
There wasn't enough Max either. I wanted some more Max.
Yeah.
I can always go for some more Max.
That would have been nicer. She was there just for all the digital stuff and trying to compose a sketch or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Based off of memory.
Need more Max.
Yeah, but...
Hashtag more Max.
So that doesn't pan out that... The whole thing, except for they find out the one person that Eldon Wick.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
find him. They go to his house. We mentioned about the basement a little bit already.
Wait, how did they get to Eldon Wick?
There had to have been somebody that vouched for him to hire him through HR.
Okay, got it.
So they found that name, tracked him down to his address, found the ear talismans, mm-hmm. all the stench
the
in the basement.
Thing.
Gina Mendez is there. That's their second door kick of the episode.
That was, yes. And they're really good. They just one hit. Wow.
One hit.
Flips open.
That's right. Well, man, they got experience. They do it their whole career, right?
I know, but yeah, they know exactly. Like, see this angle right here? Make sure right under the knob. Bang.
Yeah.
I loved when Eldon Wick comes home and then, you know, just knocks Gina down, whatever. But the way that Ryan gets him out of the Prius was like a boss. Like,
yes.
That was amazing.
I didn't even notice it was a Prius.
Yeah.
It was a blue Prius.
Wow.
And I thought that was so funny, too, because his Prius was like, dude, that's such a wimpy car. And he just got, like, he wimped out. He couldn't do anything. He's, like, in the car. What is he going to do? You can't take off that fast in that thing. And Ryan just threw him out of there, and he didn't even turn over. Like, he was face down, and he got arrested. And then the only time we got to see his face was when he was in the interrogation room.
Yeah. And it was cool to see that he had these... He had an obsession with Ryan. I thought I don't know.
When he was just like, I want to be famous, I want to be known. Like, the fame was the main thing that Ryan was using as a play to get him, because that's what he really wanted.
Right, yeah. That caught me by surprise. Like,
it was a little too easy. I think that was a device to like easily extract info from him, because he didn't want to give anything up. But then when he had to say that thing in the beginning, our names, they're linked forever in history.
And of course, he runs with it.
But Ryan knows how to manipulate him, because he's worked with Joe Carroll. Mm-hmm. He's arrested Joe Carroll many times. Yeah. So he knows that this guy just wants his name in the media, and I'm going to give him what he wants, mm-hmm. as long as he gives me what I want.
Quick question. Yeah. What was running through my mind was, why didn't Theo kill him after he used him? Theo's done that to everybody. He doesn't leave any loose ends. But he didn't kill the lawyer.
That's a good point.
Because the lawyer keeps the
USB drive.
Yeah,
thing.
Like right there. I was shocked that he still that like Theo allowed him to walk away with that and just told him, "Hey, make sure you get rid of it."
That's a great point.
I mean, the last few episodes, Theo has been pretty thorough of like getting rid of all loose ends.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't kill him because he's a fellow serial killer.
He probably would have killed the uncle from the last episode.
Duncan,
yeah.
How about this? If he had killed this guy, Eldon Wick, and he goes missing, then there's more attention that's attracted to him. For, like, just merely him going into the FBI's, at their contracted agency to do all the digital stuff that he's been doing.
That's true. All right.
So maybe that was it.
It could be.
Yes,
before it was just a plot hole.
Sean. Yes, before it was
or
a plot hole.
It was just a plot hole. Yeah.
Now I'm helping the writers of The Following by explaining away this situation.
Send you a check.
They should. Okay, that's 13266. PO box number. No. So Gina, we talked about her a little bit, but she's threatening to quit the FBI, right?
Yeah, I mean, think of all that she's been going through, and I have like lipstick marks on my notepad because I watch the show like this sometimes. Like, I cut it over my face. It's scared. Anyway,
I think of Joe Carroll in your practice.
No, I cover my face.
Joe, during the commercial breaks.
But yeah, so she's been through so
secrets
much.
Out, guys. Sorry.
She's been through so much, and the final part where they go in and they find Theo's children, I mean, she was up against the wall. She just could not bear to see that these kids were not alive.
Yeah.
And that was just the last straw for her. She was done.
Yeah.
Donezo.
She couldn't do it anymore.
I don't blame her.
And now I wonder if we're going to be seeing her at all in the upcoming episodes, if this is now her exit, if they've written her out, or if she's going to be helping him from the sidelines a little bit, maybe giving him some support, like electronic support. Who knows?
Maybe, but with that Nick guy around, I don't like him at all.
Oh, Nick. Oh, yeah. And Nick's pretty Donovan. Thorough.
Oh, Nick Donovan, Mr. Fury.
Yeah.
our Nick Fury, yeah.
The one-eyed freak, the Cyclops.
He's a Cyclops.
Yeah, no one's made any eye jokes yet.
I made one when we were screening.
Yeah, but in the show, you would figure no one's made a... You know Cyclops over there?
Because it's a serious show. They can't do that.
Not one. You figure Max would have said something like, oh, here goes one-eyed Willie. All right, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Here it comes again.
Goonies.
Good
Love
Lord.
It. Love it. But let's actually bring it back to Theo. So we left off with Eldon. He gives up the USB drive, right? And that's the digital print. That's the same thing that he uses. I guess that's his MO in order to get into networks and bypass digital security, network security. So he used that on Bob Gibbs's email address, and he used it on the FBI servers the same day he wiped everything.
This guy...
So sloppy.
This guy is
so sloppy.
Yeah, so sloppy, but he's so good. Everything else he was doing, aside from that part, was just so...
Yeah,
like when he morphed the pictures, when they went to go find his picture, and then they're just morphing into new people.
That was
like,
crazy.
What the heck?
Yeah. That was funny. Didn't you say something, Michael? Didn't you say, like, take out your cat? Like, take a photo?
Or who said that?
Yeah, I would take my phone out, like, get out all the photos of Sam. Boom, boom, boom. Snap them on your iPhone. There you have it. Digital, like, photos.
Yeah.
I should work for the FBI.
I know.
Yes, you should have. Honorary agent right here.
Yes.
Kicking all the doors you want.
Oh, my God. Yes.
You need, like, four kicks. Like, all right. Pick the lock.
You'll get better at it. Don't worry. After a few years in the agency, you'll be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have done that. Why didn't anybody think of that? I guess it was happening too fast for them to think, or maybe they don't allow the FBI agents to use their iPhones while they're on duty.
Or hey, maybe it's just a device. You know,
everything's just a device.
Or maybe even if they did do the photos, Theo would have wiped those too because he's that good of an actor.
This guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you know what? I wouldn't put it past him. Like, as soon as they take a picture, then their phone like melts in their hand. Like,
oh my god!
And he gets an alert on his cell phone.
It just short circuits.
Melted.
Activated.
He hacks an EMP pulse into the FBI, and it just wipes out all their electronics, just like he did with that car.
Oh
wow. He could do it.
Full circle.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they end up tracking down Bob Gibbs. They find out there's a murder-suicide, right, that he did with him and his wife.
Yeah, and when the FBI comes to tell Theo and his wife that acting job was awesome, like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
what did I say a few episodes ago about, like, hey, maybe he has a heart? Maybe as a, you know, he's just a full-on, I guess the killing should say, but he's a full-on sociopath. Like, full-on, like, literally has two separate lives.
Yeah.
Just like Duncan.
Yeah.
So I guess I was wrong about that, too.
Yeah, he can really separate his killer life from his personal life, right? Because his personal life, it's all a cover. He's got to be, and he was very subtle. He didn't overplay the drama or the sadness with finding out that Nancy and Bob are dead. He was just like, oh, honey, oh, come here.
Like, damn.
Yeah. Oh, when did it? Oh, we just saw them last night. Oh,
baby, do you
so
know?
Awful.
Oh, okay, forget it. Just cry on me, girl.
Yeah,
I got you.
I mean, and we see this even at the end when he's killing Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
He says to her, I'm going to miss this, what does he say, like playhouse? Or
Playing house.
I can't play house with you anymore.
God,
that was so bad.
And that was, oh man, it's like, as much as I would have thought that he really did love her and really did love his family, he didn't.
She was kind of
playing. It was just a front that he was putting on.
Total facade.
Well, this goes to show you. She probably had a choice between him and some other guy, and this other guy's probably, you know, he's probably a nice guy, but maybe he cheated. Maybe he was schleppy, but you know what? She'd be alive.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, girls? Stop being so damn picky. If
Michael,
he's too good to be true, he could be a
stop
murderer.
Stop bringing in your personal love life into this show. We're talking about Theo here.
He bought a house. He was perfect. He was buying groceries.
Threw her a surprise party. Gluten-free cupcakes. Done. Sign me up.
See, but he was really shopping for Clorox and latex gloves in a closed-down store.
Before
what a creepo. Before he grinded that guy's arm up into sausage to feed to everybody the next day.
Did he do that? I don't think he did that.
Well, he didn't. We didn't see him make the sausage, but I'm sure that's what he was doing.
Possibly.
That's pretty gross.
Okay.
Anyway, back to him killing his family.
Lawyer standards, woman. Lawyer standards.
If Joe Carroll was talking about this, he would be saying something like, oh, he daggered her heart so much so, even if he was Cassius killing Caesar himself.
Oh my gosh.
You've been dying for this. This is like the perfect day for you.
You love it.
I love it.
Like, oh, yes.
I have to admit it. I'm
but
enjoying it.
But he didn't really give her a... should I say beautiful death? I mean, the candles and the roses. Probably the same roses he brought home for the birthday party.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right, the white roses.
Yeah, they're just scattered all around. And
she had a pure, beautiful life before this, and he totally soiled everything with his necessity, his need to kill.
And the one thing I was going to bring up before, but he said, he says to her, We can't have a future now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been talking about futures.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think that's his weakness. Like he has a thing for futures. He likes stealing people's futures. He likes having the power in his hand, whether you're going to see tomorrow or not.
He did mention that a couple times.
I think that's gonna be his Achilles heel, some way, shape, or form.
He's like collecting everybody's futures.
Yeah,
I see that.
Maybe he stores them digitally somewhere. Perhaps he has one of those drives he takes around with him, and he's just like, oh, yeah, their identity is mine now.
Futures.
I don't know.
He takes all their planning books. What are we going to do next week? I've got your future.
Yeah.
It's what, next Friday the movies? Puts in his pocket. I got it now.
Aww.
I have your future.
So Gina quits for good.
Yeah.
There's that conversation between Ryan and Theo near the end. He calls him. He has the gall to call him and just talk. He wanted to know how'd you find me.
I think he was really upset. The moment when he gets the alert which informs him that now he has to kill his wife.
Can we talk about that? Please do.
I think he like crumbled. He was just like, I can't believe I think right there he realized I gotta get rid of my wife now.
Yeah.
I think that played a big part
in
that little moment there.
It went from like, okay, honey, like go hang out with your girls, go have your wine, to like, okay, I'm cleaning up after my kids, to alert, to sitting down, cracks his knuckles, and it's that moment of just when he looks down and looks up, that face, it was just, you could just see right through his soul. Like, it was cold killer, you know?
Totally turned into
so well played.
Cold-blooded man right there.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
And then his wife and kids come down, it's like, we're all staying in. Like, oh, boy.
And he said it really...
Like, ooh, I just got the goosebumps. It was creepy.
Like, I wonder what she was thinking. Like, okay... And the next thing you know, he ties her up. Like, how does that transition happen? Like, hey, baby, I gotta kill you randomly now. Like, to her, that must have been out of nowhere. Because he's led a double life forever.
Yeah.
It's so unfortunate that they don't show stuff like that in the show, because they have so many ellipses. So we, as the audience, we have to fill in the gaps.
They probably
right?
would have played out, to be honest with you.
I would have liked to have seen that scene more drawn out. I want to hear that conversation.
Like, who have you been this whole time I've been married to you?
Yeah. That way we could really hear, like, the morality, the ethics, the explanation of what he has on his mind. Or then again, maybe he just doesn't explain anything to his wife except for those last few sentences he says.
Yeah, they're on to me now. You must die or whatever.
Or maybe they're saving it. They could be saving it for maybe a good one-on-one moment between him and Ryan.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I feel like there are... Fox doesn't typically do those really good, like, one-on-one deep morality scenes, which is unfortunate. They just do... Thankfully, they have a lot of funny scenes with Joe Carroll this season.
Yeah,
that's what I love, you know? But there's like, I'm thinking about, like, shows like The Fall with the serial killer, where the inspector chasing him, it has a 20-minute conversation with the killer after she catches him.
Oh, wow.
And it's if we had something like that in this show... Oh, man, I would love it even more.
Yeah, just to really get into their minds.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. But he says, getting back to the conversation on the phone, he says, I have killed hundreds before you. Hundreds.
Hundreds. That's crazy.
And he said, again, I've taken 100 futures. He said something like that.
Yeah, that's insane. So it's just going to be interesting to see what dynamics are going to play out later on. But did you guys want to go over really quickly Ryan being in the doghouse with Gwen?
Man, not I'm so much. Over Gwen.
Let's
yeah,
mention.
I'm so over her too.
Yeah.
Why is he in the doghouse? Like, that's what gets me. Why is he in the doghouse?
She's not sensitive to him.
She's complete. There's just no empathy at all. Not even like, I understand that you almost got killed and that you're chasing murderers, but you know. Can you make my life easier? It's like, she doesn't even help him. It's just, I don't know.
And, like, if it wasn't for Ryan, Joe Carroll would have still been out there killing innocent people. The doctor needed to leave. I would have kicked him out.
It was the shock that he had when he got kicked out. I was just like, whoa, you're kicking me out? I'm like, dude.
Yeah, like the was wife so was like, sorry, bye.
He was like, get out of my house. He's like, what?
Yeah.
Just couldn't.
Yeah, but then he tries to make up for it the next morning, cooking bacon and eggs. And she goes, it's going to take a lot more than bacon and eggs to make up for what you did last night.
Like a diamond ring. No.
But I feel like she's pushing him. We already see him teetering on the edge. He's hallucinating, seeing Joe Carroll everywhere. I think Ryan needs a drink. And
I predicted
in two episodes he's probably going to be drinking again. And I really feel like Gwen is a follower, and Joe is edging her to push Ryan Hardy over the edge to make him go crazy and do something nuts. No. Yes, we are. But no, we're not really. Not yet. We're actually going to go over some comments from our fans. So let's go ahead and I guess this is going to be our news and gossip section.
Hey.
Oh.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so I had some awesome comments from our fans on YouTube and Instagram. So on Instagram, the following _on_Fox, they commented at me. They said, Joe Carroll's execution day will take place in episode 10, titled Evermore.
Hmm. Wait, huh?
So they're predicting.
They're predicting
that's going to happen.
Or do they have some inside knowledge?
Maybe they do. Or maybe they're just reading the episode titles. If they're already up there, they're reading the episode titles, perhaps.
Okay.
And they're making that prediction.
I'll call it Evermore because Edgar Allan Poe. Okay.
But the opposite of Nevermore. which is it's so weird. It's like, so Evermore, I would think that Evermore means that he's going to live through the execution somehow and make it out of there.
Okay, because this is episode 8. Right?
Yeah, we're on 8.
So then 9 we see. Okay, all right.
So we got 2 more episodes, and Joe Carroll's supposed to be executed.
We'll see. Perhaps. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. But we did have there was another fan who actually commented on that same picture on Instagram, and that fan was, it's Courtney7. He said, or she said, rather, yes, Kevin Bacon tweeted that photo of James Purfoy, I take it, cutting a cake, and James left NYC, so he dies at some point this season, she predicts.
This is total subjective, this is really gossipy.
Here, we do not know, this is not confirmed, this is just all fan talk on the forums pretty much. But I did look at James Purfoy's Twitter account today. And guess what?
What?
He's not in New York. He even tweeted on, a twit pic on March 11th when he left, and it was the first day of spring, and he was leaving, and it was like New York sunset, and now he's in London eating cupcakes.
Maybe they're wrapped.
It's not necessarily, but I couldn't find that photo. I couldn't find the cake photo where maybe it's like a cast thing and like sending him off. Who knows? You know,
Wrapped? Can we figure out if they're wrapped? I'm gonna look.
They did wrap already, but they wrapped just a few days ago, 4 days ago, as opposed to he left in March 11th.
Ooh, oh my gosh, I don't know about that. Guys, I can't.
This is big time gossip right here. Anyway, there's some other fans that gave us some comments. At Terry Pitnick, she said,
I love these names.
Yeah.
No way, Gwen follower or not, she and Ryan have zero chemistry.
Zero.
They do.
Negative zero.
Negative zero. Negative 4.
Because she keeps nagging. He doesn't want to be there.
Seriously. He just needs someone to fill the void that Claire is not there.
He's nagging him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
He needs a dumper and leave.
Tiffany F., she commented as well and said, that last dream of Joe and Ryan is all I ever wanted from this show.
Ooh. I'm so with you, girl.
JCCBCLAOL. Wow, that's a lot of initials in there, girl. Or guy. I'm not sure. It's a very ambiguous name. Still want that following stalker crossover. The show with Dylan.
I don't watch that.
Stalker. I don't watch that show.
Yeah, I don't watch it either. And Maggie Q. Yeah, so that would be interesting to have a crossover of that.
Is it a Fox show?
I think it's an ABC show, but I don't watch it. So, I think, I'm not sure if they have FBI agents in there, but maybe they do.
Max, are they better at their job than over on The Following?
Yeah.
Tyler L. Floyd said, Max's boyfriend will frame Mike for something to get him suspended from the FBI.
That's a very good prediction.
See Tom doing that.
I could see that happening. He's so jealous right now.
Yeah.
That's a good prediction.
We also have, I also was looking at Jessica L. Stroop's Twitter account, and she posted a twit pic of them rapping. She said, today is rap day on, and I mentioned it was just like 4 days ago, she just tweeted this, on at The Following Fox, at Sean Ashmore just gave me the best gift from at Gratitude Collab. Thanks. Okay. So it's like Sean Ashmore sent her a gift basket. And it looked pretty cool. I don't really know what was in it. I was browsing at it, but it looks like maybe soap and maybe some food and stuff in there. But it's from a collaborative like grocery store, maybe. Mm. So it's probably like all natural products.
Probably doesn't mean she's gone.
No, don't worry. Your mask is still there.
So I look at her Twitter too, but not for information.
She has so many picks. Followers. How many followers do you think she has?
I don't know.
She has over 200,000 followers on Twitter. That's insane. I could have swore just like looking a few weeks ago that she only had like 90K and it jumped up like dramatically.
Well, she
was on 90210 the revamp.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, that's why she has so many damn followers.
I love that she can play like the cutesy 90210 to like an FBI agent. Yeah, I love that.
I'm with it, girl.
Yeah. If you compare her followers to Sean Ashmore, he only has 90K. So yikes. She's got over double the amount.
Dang.
But I think do you guys have any news and gossip?
No.
Well, let's go ahead and move into our predictions.
Yes. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay.
Well, let's start across the table. Let's all go right. Ladies first, Pekka.
Whoa, curveball. You guys, okay. I have a feeling that... What? That Thea. Theo is not done. He's nowhere near being caught. He's nowhere near, yeah, ending his, like, work. Mm-hmm. So we're still going to get a lot more of Theo. A little cat and mouse chase in episode 9 for sure.
Okay.
But as far as Joe goes, Ryan will see him next episode, I feel.
Damn it! You took my prediction!
Sorry.
That's okay.
But it's coming, and that's it. That's all I have.
All right. Mine's a little bold. Well, first, I think they're going to use the whole future thing with Theo. I think that's going to be like the Achilles heel. So that's one. Mm-hmm. And I think, what did Gwen say when she was making out with Ryan, how she's going to use a sledgehammer to break down the wall?
Yes.
I think Gwen turns out to be a follower. And when she kidnaps Ryan, she will be using a sledgehammer to torture him. Bam.
Bam!
And then, and then they will call back to that joke. Like, I told you I'd have a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Something
that
like that.
Escalated very quickly.
I wrote that down in my notes. I said, sledgehammer, foreshadowing, question mark.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think she is a follower. I think she's going to do something like that. She has been pushing him so much this season to make him lose his mind.
Wouldn't it be awesome if she wasn't a follower? She was just randomly crazy, and she just wants to kill him just because she kicked out her boss.
Or she wants to kill him so that she can get Joe Carroll's approval, even though she's never met Joe, and that's how obsessed she is with Joe Carroll.
Yikes.
Perhaps.
Maybe, because, like, she's jealous that Ryan's giving him more attention than her.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Why should just be regular? Just be regular, regular old boring Gwen.
Why can't we just have regular women and men on this show?
It would be something crazy.
What's your prediction, Sean?
My prediction is there's going to be more dreams with Joe and Ryan in each other's dreams next episode. And I was going to say Ryan's going to go to Joe for help, but you took it.
No, we can have the same.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the AfterBuzz TV, the following podcast. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Follow us on there. Subscribe to us. Go to Instagram, Twitter. Comment on our photos, on our posts. Follow us. Give us a follow.
Yeah.
Give me a follower or two. I'm at Sean Austin O on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. Download it if you don't have it and join me at Pegarad.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow me at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL.
Thanks so much, guys, and we'll buzz with you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.